বিহারে। জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে। গোপী জন বলব গিরিবন ধরি। গোপী জন বলব গিরিবন ধরি। যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন রামন তীরবন চারি। জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে। জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারে। রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোবিনাথ শ্যাম কুন্দ রাধা কুন্দ গিরি গৌরা শ্রী শ্রী গৌর নিতায় কি জয়। শ্রী রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর কি জয়। শ্রী কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কি জয়। মথুর বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয়। শ্রী মায়াপুর ধাম কি জয়। গঙ্গাবাই যুগুরবাই কি জয়। তুলসী দেবী ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়। শ্রী হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়। Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the Sum of Devotees. All glories to the Sum of Devotees. All glories to the Sum of Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Sumati Bhakti Viranta Samriti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vampacharini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। And somewhat lengthy purport, right, that you did yesterday, or His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj did yesterday. And this is chapter 15, verse 33. Nahyantaram Bhagavatiha Samasta Kukshav. Atmanam Atmani Nabuna Bashi Vadira. Pashyanti Yatra Juvayo Shura Lingino King. Vyutpaditam Hyudarabedi Bayam Yatosya. Nahyantaram Bhagavatiha Samasta Kukshav. Atmanam Atmani Nabo Nabashi Vadira. Pashyanti Jatra Juvayo Shura Lingino King. Vyutpaditam Hyudarabedi Vayam Yatosya. Antaram, distinction, Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Iha, here, Samasta Kuksho, everything is within his abdomen, Atmanam, the living entity, Atmani, in the supersoul, Nabha, the small quantity of air, Nabhasi, within the whole air, Eva, as, Dhira, the learned, Pashyanti, see, Jatra, in whom, Juvayo, of you too, Suralingino, dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Kim, how? Vyutpaditam, awakened, we developed. He, certainly. Udarabedi,
distinction between the body and the soul.
Bhayam, fearfulness. Jata,
where from?
Asya,
of the Supreme Lord.
Translation, in the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? Please repeat. In the Vaikuntha world,
there is complete harmony
between the residents
and the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Just as there is complete harmony
within space
between the big and the small skies.
Why then is there a seed of fear
in this field of harmony?
These two persons
are dressed
like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha.
But where from can their disharmony
come into existence?
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Just as there are different departments in each state in this material world, the civil department and the criminal department, so in God's creation there are two departments of existence. As in the material world, we find that the criminal department is far, far smaller than the civil department. So this material, which is considered the criminal department, is one-fourth of the entire creation of the Lord. All living entities who are residents of the material universes are considered to be more or less criminals because they do not wish to abide by the order of the Lord, or they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful, and he becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is entrapped by Maya or illusion. The external energy of the Lord is called the material world, and the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. Everything there is absolute. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach. And just as in the machine, there are hundreds and thousands of parts that they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engage in the service of the Lord. The Maivadi philosophers, the impersonalists, interpret this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the small sky and the big sky are one, but this idea cannot stand. The example of the big sky and the small skies is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself, and the intestines and other parts of the body occupy the small sky. Each and every part of the body has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. Similarly, the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we created beings, or anything that is created, are but one small part of that body. The parts of the body are never equal to the whole. This is never possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the living entities, who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are eternally parts and parcels. According to the Mayavadi philosophers, the living entity in illusion considers himself part and parcel, although he is actually one and the same as the Supreme Whole. This theory is not valid. The oneness of the whole and the part is in their quality. The qualitative oneness of the small and large portions of the sky does not imply that the small sky becomes the big sky. There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents. Maya means disharmony between the living entities and the Supreme Lord, and Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because he is the supreme living entity. But foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, defy his existence, and that state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. They say everything is void, and sometimes they deny him in a different way. Quote, there may be a God, but he has no form, unquote. Both these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. Harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means a devotional service of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. This is religion. When one is fully conscious that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and supreme Lord and one acts accordingly, that is real religion. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all of the religious principles. In the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore that world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principles can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Omegyana timrandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurumilitam jena tasmaya shri gurive namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let's read the verse again. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? This morning, I was thinking a little about the verse itself. And actually the context of this pastime. And, you know, somehow or another, the Kumaras managed to enter into the gardens of Vaikuntha. Not exactly into it, but interestingly, seven gates, they came up to the seventh, so they passed through the first six gates of Vaikuntha, and then Jai and Vijay stopped them. They wouldn't let him go any further. They couldn't figure out how these Gyanis came here. Of course, although they're young boys, Kumaras are actually the first manifestation from Lord Brahma, and therefore next to their father, they're the oldest creatures within the universe. I mean, call them creatures, not creatures, living entities. But still, they're personifications of transcendental knowledge. But at this stage in the Leela of the Lord and their development, they're not actually pure Vaishnavas. They're not Mayavadis. They're Brahmavadis. And there's a real difference between the two. Brahmavadis may be aware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but somehow or another, which usually means because they really lack quality Vaishnava association, they become more attracted to this impersonal feature of Krishna than to Krishna. But unlike the Mayavadis, they don't deny Krishna's existence, neither do they claim that the concept of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is simply a manifestation of the mode of goodness, which means that it is also Maya. So they have eligibility to move forward, or sort of adhikar. And this may be a topic that of interest to discuss today. We don't have a history. All of a sudden, they just sort of appear in the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. What did the Kumaras do to even be able to approach Vaikuntha? So you don't approach Vaikuntha just by transcendental knowledge. You don't approach Vaikuntha by the performance of any austerities or so on. You have to have devotional qualification. In the beginning of Brahma Samhita, what we have is the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita. It's described that there are these tridents which are protecting Vaikuntha from any unqualified or unauthorized person. So they can't even enter into the Vaikuntha sky. And in commentaries, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that especially from Mayavadis or anyone else who tries to go there in an unauthorized way. How do the Kumaras get there? Everything requires a certain qualification. The word is called adhikar, or qualification, or eligibility. And it's a standard requirement, be that in the spiritual or even in the material realm. So what's your eligibility to go to university? Well, that you pass through high school, and you also you passed, you did well in your exams. Similarly, what's the eligibility for, I don't know, marrying a man, marrying a woman? Well, they have to be suitable. There has to be a certain level of compatibility. So the compatibility is what's the adhikar, the eligibility. So what is the was the eligibility of the Kumaras to get this far? They didn't go into Vaikuntha. They just got close to it. They got to the seventh gate, and then they couldn't pass through that seventh gate. This is as far as they got. Is there disharmony in Vaikuntha? Obviously not. The whole meaning of the word Vaikuntha is that place where there's no fear. What does fear arise from? Baya dvitiya abhiniveshatatsyat. Fear comes from bodily identification. Fear comes due to seeing a difference between everything, including ourselves, and the Supreme Lord. There is a oneness. There is a oneness that's described by our philosophy, Bheda, 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 and Abheda. Oneness, and that there is also a distinction. So everything here in the material world, Krishna's explaining that in the beginning of the ninth chapter, that everything is ultimately his transcendental potencies, and because he's not different from those potencies, so he's one with everything, and yet at the same time, from the personal point of view, he is different. So did the Jain Vyadarjai actually commit an offense? Although they became cursed, ultimately Lord Narayan comes out, which was interesting. Still, they didn't get to go in. Lord Narayan came out to them, and he pointed out that, yes, this is my arrangement, because, as we all know, he wanted to fight, and then they took birth as demons in the material world, or at least that was their choice. Okay, you choose between taking birth as devotees, seven births, or three births as demons. It's not an easy choice. One is that you have to really become inimical to Krishna. And the other is that you remain a devotee, but in the material world. But they were so eager to go back to their service that they made this choice. I don't know if we were in a similar situation, what choice would we make? Would we want to fight with Krishna? But it's not just a matter of, okay, we're having a wrestling match, that you actually hate Krishna. So they're not putting on a show. It's for real. It's like Lord Krishna when, as a little child, he's running away from Mother Jasoda. Is he playing that he's afraid, or is he really afraid? No, he's really afraid. He's not playing a game saying, I'm going to pretend like I'm afraid. Krishna is really afraid. Why? Because he's not aware of the fact that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He really thinks, I'm just a little coward boy. She's my mother, and she's got a stick in her hand. And Krishna kept running. She said, you know, stop. He said, you drop the stick, and then I'll stop. He still didn't stop, but Krishna was afraid. And that's the sort of another unique feature of Krishna's inconceivable potencies, that here's Krishna, he's absorbed in this pastime where he's running away from his mother. And he knows nothing else. He doesn't know you or me or anybody else in this room. He's not aware of our prayers. He's not aware of what's going on. He's only thinking of one thing, that stick, and nothing else. Simultaneously one and different. But at the same time, he's also Sarvagya. Bhagavatam starts, Abhigya Swarat. He knows everything. So even though he knows nothing except that stick, at the same time, he knows everything. He knows everything that we think, everything that we do, all the prayers offered in countless universes, what to speak of in the spiritual world. So these two aspects, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he really gets into explaining what he calls Mugdata and Sarvagya. Is that he, Sarvagya, he knows everything, and Mugda. Mugda means that he's ignorant. How is God ignorant? But if he can't be ignorant, then how can he be complete? So he has to be able to be both. You can't just say he knows everything, but he also has to know nothing, and just know nothing except he's afraid and he's running away from his mother. Interestingly, this is first sort of brought up earlier on by Bilva Mangal Thakur in his Krishna Karnamrita, where he's talking about these two features, two aspects of Krishna. He's all-knowing, but then when he's laying in the lap of his mother, or he's drinking her breast milk, or when he's dancing with the gopis, he is fully absorbed. It's not a show. So, Jai Vijay, it's not a show. When they become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they forget about being Jai Vijay. They're not that, okay, I'm here and I have to play a drama. Even a good, or actually you could say only a good actor is someone who forgets about his identity and fully absorbs himself in this particular role that he's in. He's playing a role, and I don't know, he's thinking, I'm Hamlet, or I'm some other personality, playing one of our Krishna conscious drama, and the devotee forgets who he is and fully absorbed in. For me, always the best example of this type of spontaneous absorption are children. So you've all seen them, I'm sure they're running around out here. I saw the sign over there, children are welcome. I didn't see the small print, but I saw the big part that children are welcome. And they're playing Ramayan. I'm Ram, you're Hanuman. And they're really absorbed in being Ram and Hanuman. It's just natural, it's spontaneous. And they forget about who they are, they forget that they've got a mother waiting for them for lunch. They're just fully absorbed in this play. So these gatekeepers are also going to be cursed in that situation, and they accept that because for them, as they've weighed things out, our service here is more important to whatever role we're going to have to play there in the material world. I don't know what the eligibility of the Kumaras was to get that far. But certainly this issue of Adhikar, and there are, if you make note of that word, there are two verses, and this is as far as I got this morning, in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, which is really such an important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, it's all philosophy. There's little lila in the beginning, but ultimately it's all philosophy, but wonderful philosophy. One part is the Navayogendras, and then after that is Krishna, Uddhava Gita. And Krishna gives two verses which start off in the same way, although my telephone didn't like the diacritic, so I can't read the whole thing. Svi svi adhikara jinishta saguna parikirtito. And that's, I think, in the 20th chapter and the 21st chapter again. Svi svi adhikari jinishta saguna parikirtito. But Krishna's point that he's making, which I'll just read the translation. First one says, it is firmly declared that the steady adherence of transcendentalists to their respective spiritual positions constitutes real piety, and that sin occurs when a transcendentalist neglects his prescribed duty. One who adopts the standard of piety and sin, sincerely desiring to give up all past association with sense gratification, is able to subdue materialistic activities which are by nature impure. And a shorter version of that in the other verse, Krishna says, steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. This is given specifically as guidance to Vaishnavas, practitioners. What is acceptable at a certain stage of spiritual development and is considered to be dharma may be considered to be adharma at another stage, or what's acceptable for one person is unacceptable for another. In his book Bhakti Loka, Thakur Bhaktivinod gets into these verses and these points in great detail. So for instance, we know that the stages of advancement in Krishna consciousness, Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, he points out that devotees should know at what stage of Krishna consciousness they are on. Sure, everyone is supposed to be humble, but at the same time, everyone's supposed to be learned. And one part of being learned is being introspective. So these qualities, characteristics are described in detail. Bhagavatam describes them somewhat. But that very nice book, Kadamba, what Kadamba? Madhuit, yes. Describes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, goes into real detail. It's for our benefit. Our benefit so that we can actually measure where are we now? Are we eligible to move forward? So Thakur Bhakti Manod says that when you're at a certain stage of Krishna consciousness and you're not qualified, you don't have the adhikar for the next stage, then that becomes an offense. It becomes impiety or it becomes sin. Conversely, when you're actually qualified, and sometimes we hear that devotees say, oh, I'm not qualified. When someone is qualified actually to move to the next stage and he doesn't, then that's sin. So, I don't know, certain practice of Krishna consciousness and devotees practicing after 30 years say, well, I'm not qualified. But we're supposed to be qualified. You know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would chastise a devotee, say, Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee. Well, why aren't you a pure devotee? We're supposed to become pure devotees. We are supposed to be progressing forward. So qualification to go from one stage to the next and the practices that are eligible. One is subject matter that devotees can read. what is it that we should study and read very carefully, and what is it that perhaps we should not. So devotees in the beginning should really concentrate their understanding of Krishna consciousness based on the Bhagavad Gita. And of course, for preaching means Bhagavad Gita. We don't really need to go any further than that. Whatever is in the Bhagavad Gita is beyond anything any spiritualist, academic, scholar, or you name it, knows. And this is what they first should know. But once someone really understands, yes, Mami Kam Saranam Braja, so then if you take up the process of surrender, Srimad Bhagavatam becomes actually obligatory. The devotee should study Srimad Bhagavatam. And so Prabhupada said that this is the beginners, here is the university, Chaitanya Charitamrita, here is the PhD course. Successively, we should study, not read, because, you know, none of us got to where we are here. We went through school, you went through university, have a certain career by studying books. No one read their school books. If you just read them, you didn't necessarily do very well, or if you did, you cheated. But we have to study. And these are also the textbooks that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Only 4 textbooks. You read a lot more books to get to where you are in school. I mean, we read hundreds of books every year, right? You bought new books, and it was a thrill. Okay, here's the new books. And we went, so many books, just arithmetic, geometry, trigonometry, algebra, and going on and on. So, but here are just 4 books. Become really conversant with these 4 books. Jiva Goswami said to actually, it's like you hold a walnut in your hand. He had Srimad Bhagavatam in his hand like that, like 18,000 verses. Knowing Bhagavad Gita is, or memorizing Bhagavad Gita is not a not such a big thing, even in better schools in India where they teach Sanskrit. Bhagavad Gita is the basic for Sanskrit. It's the easiest Sanskrit to study. And students know Bhagavad Gita off by heart. My bodies know Bhagavad Gita off by heart. Many my bodies know Srimad Bhagavatam off by heart. So to actually know and study, and where actually are these books taking us. But same thing, Adhikar. What is the eligibility? What is someone qualified for? We see that in terms of ashrams, a grihastha may associate with his wife. A brahmachari and a sannyasi has no qualification for associating with a woman that intimately. So what is suitable in one ashram is not suitable in another. So knowing what we are eligible for and being humble, but at the same time being aware of just exactly where we are. So how do we know, for instance, qualification for really moving forward? Well, to the extent that one becomes free from material desire, anartanivritti. But that's not what Krishna consciousness is. It's not simply just about becoming free from anartas. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about, it's something that we've become much more aware of. Srila Prabhupada never really got into so much detail about you've got to become free from this anartha and that anartha and so on. He He just emphasized learn how to love Krishna and you don't have to worry about anything else. Of course, for Prabhupada, that was easy. We may find that it's not that easy. But nonetheless, we should know what is our qualification, to what degree is the heart free from impurity. And to that degree, yes, we should move forward. And then our eligibility becomes naturally, spontaneously manifest. For instance, there's one, chants Hare Krishna. What do? When we chant Hare Krishna, we listen to the holy name. But if one is actually really a quality meditator and meditates on the sound of the holy name, Nama, then Krishna's qualities, the attributes of the Supreme Person start to naturally become manifest, what to speak of Krishna's form. So eligibility in that sense becomes a natural sequence. And again, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that Harinam Chintamani points out that. Who's read Harinam Chintamani? I expected more devotees. It's a very popular book because it's really a handbook on chanting Hare Krishna. Devamrita Swami Maharaj told me that once when Srila Prabhupada was going around the Los Angeles BBT department, one devotee, now I'm not sure who it was, had this Harinam Chintamani there. And Prabhupada saw it and looked at it and he asked, are you reading it? Yes. So it's not so important. It's an interesting statement for Prabhupada to make about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. Whether he meant it was not so important for that devotee at that time, anyway, but that's as much as we know because Prabhupada just moved on in the department. I always think it's quite interesting, although I still make reference to it. It's really a wonderful book. Bhanu Maharaj originally translated, and since then it's been further edited. So, what's the eligibility that devotees ask? Well, you know, should I think about Krishna? Of course, there's no harm in thinking about Krishna, Krishna's forms or Krishna's pastimes. But sometimes Srila Prabhupada referred that to being a mechanical or artificial effort. But it happens naturally. If you're qualified, if you've gained the eligibility, if you're eligible or if you have the qualification to hear that there's nothing sweeter than this holy name, Madhura Madhuri Vyopi, Mangali Vyosati Mangalam, Pavanam Pavane Vyopi, Harinama Eva Kevalam. So that the devotee can sit and chant. We don't fall asleep. Why? Because we have such taste for the holy name. When one has that eligibility to hear the holy name, then automatically the qualities of Krishna will manifest. And in the same way as a devotee has gained that eligibility to hear and at the same time he meditates on Krishna's beauty, sweetness, how merciful Krishna is that he comes into this material world to save us, then naturally one becomes eligible on that basis to meditate on Krishna's form. Krishna's form spontaneously awakens within the mind of the devotee. Santasya deva hridayeshu vilokayanti jam shyama sundaram vachanta gunasvarupam. So you know, manifest within the mind. And then from there, Krishna's pastime. So it's another example of being eligible. And I found it very interesting. It's sort of ABC in one sense, that you always have to have eligibility to move forward. But for me, what was very much an eye-opener when I was reading what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote was that, but if you don't move forward and you're eligible, artificially we say, oh, I'm not qualified, but I am, then that also becomes a impiety, sinful activity, possibly an offense, because you're meant to move forward. So, okay, I went to grade 3 in grammar school, but just out of humility, at 25 years old, I can't still be in grade 3. No one's going to want you there. They're going to, well, what are you doing here in 25 years? It's all right when you were 7 years old, but, you know, you've got to move on. And why aren't you qualified? You may say, well, I'm not qualified, but why aren't you? You have age-wise, intelligence-wise, this is nothing for you. So similarly, we need to really move on. And in order to move on in Krishna consciousness, we have to really be clear. What are the stages of devotional service? Not just these shraddha, sadhu, sangha, etc. And we reach bhava bhakti, and then from prema. These are different. You could say they're called sadhyas. In the 8th chapter of Madhya Lila, then there's this very detailed conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. And this is generally Lord Chaitanya's approach when he's meeting scholars. He asks, what is the ultimate goal of life and what is the sadhana for attaining it? Now with Ramananda Roy, he's meeting a great devotee scholar, and they start to go through a certain sequence. And in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya just rejects Varnashram, etc., as the ultimate goal of life, Prabhupada points out. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not that Lord Chaitanya is rejecting Varnashram, his question is, what's the ultimate goal of life? That may be a means, that may be something that facilitates, but it's not something that's of no value, but it's not the ultimate goal. So what is always the goal, and what is the sadhana for every goal? So we, as I mentioned earlier, in the beginning, for us to really develop faith in Krishna, in devotional service, then our sadhana is that we chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is always there. But as I mentioned, the chanting will differ according to the level of advancement that one acquires. So Lord Chaitanya keeps asking, all right, what is the adhikar? What is the adhikar for this ultimate goal of life? And how is it practiced? So that's something that we as devotees have to be aware of. What are the different stages? What is the qualification or the sadhana for each stage? And ultimately, where are we going? And are we getting there? Are we taking the steps? Are we stagnating? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings this point up when he's talking about niyamagraha and niyama-agraha, that one is not willing to move forward, or one moves forward without qualification. Anyway, it's 9 o'clock, and by the grace of the Lord, thank you for allowing me to just say a few things. So much in what Srila Prabhupada gave us, and if we really study it very carefully, then yes, we achieve that goal, going back to Godhead. Where back to Godhead? What part of Godhead? What do you do in Godhead? What do you look like? Those are all further aspects of what the sadhya is. And for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was the goal? Well, the sadhya was his identity as Srimati Radharani. And what's the sadhana? Have to be absorbed in the things which in the mood, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam, Nomi Krishna Swarupam, in Radha Bhava, being absorbed in that mood. And how do you do that? You have the association of personalities like Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramnath Dalai. Hare Krishna, it's breakfast time. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your wonderful lecture. During your example of the eye-opener from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that there's a principle of being qualified to advance but not doing it as a restrictive element to one's development and advancement. And you talked about the example of hearing different topics. I'm wondering if you can also help with some practical other things that may manifest as one advances that reveals the path and the restrictive nature of the person that would hold him back or her back from taking that step.
If another example could be that devotees naturally feel a certain type of development, an attraction to a certain type of devotional practice, or that they become attracted to, attracted to residents of Vrindavan. But at the same time, I'm afraid, no, I don't want to be a sahaja. But sahaja means you don't have the qualification. But if you do have the qualification, then that's our business, going back to Godhead. And it happens in a progressive, stepwise way. We need Guru's guidance or Vaishnava's guidance, learned Vaishnava's. And really, this is what Kateantashamam Nitya Tushanti Charamantacha. This is what the real association of devotees means, that we're discussing these topics in those who are of equal minded or equal level also of advancement. Rupa Goswami gives the other example of, for instance, how we define a Madhyamadikari, that he's giving mercy to the Kanishtha and is worshipping the Uttam. So we behave differently with different Vaishnavas. How are we meant to interact with others? And of course, with those who are advanced as us, then we make friends with them. Prema, maitri, kipopeksha, sakaroti samadhyama. So Bhagavatam describes that, yes, we have a different approach to different devotees. We don't treat all Vaishnavas in the same way. Maybe very kind and very friendly, but we're dependent on the seniors, and we're sharing with equals, but we're giving to the juniors. Generally speaking, they have little to give to a more advanced devotee. So we don't take from them, but we will take from somebody else. Is that okay, Jhuva Prabhu?
Yeah, I'm connecting that with Rupa Goswami's Guhyam Akyati Prichati, that you don't reveal, we don't reveal the inner sentiments of our heart to everyone. That's natural. But yet we're trying to find that soft spot and trying to find and enter into the depths of that lotus of the heart. And it's a tight, as it blossoms, it opens up. But as we approach it, there's a natural humility that's in, there in devotees that kind of makes one hesitate. So that's what I was kind of wondering. And your example of the of more advanced devotees, good association is the perfect overall.
Yeah, humility helps us balance things. But at the same time, it shouldn't be like artificial. Like I'm never going to be qualified. And what are we doing here? What did Prabhupada come for if we're never going to be qualified? Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. How far do you go with these questions and answers? I'm all right. I don't take breakfast. Sir, in the back.
I hope it's not an absurd question. We know that Srila Prabhupada established this Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. What would you say to like giving some kind of certificate like Sadhu Sangha, Bhajanakriya, now someone's a Nishta, now someone's a Ruchi, like that?
Well, Srila Prabhupada didn't mention that. He did want even to connect names to devotees who have actually passed those stages. But there is one in 1977 for the Gaur Purnima festival when they were passing out prizes for the top pujari, for the top book distributor, for the top preacher, and Prabhupada gave names, and they were certificates that were meant to be given out. Learning is easy. Spiritual advancement is something else. That we're certifying spiritual advancement.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Maharaj. I was noting that one of the disqualifications of the Kumaras entering Vaikuntha was that they were jnanis. And I was thinking that in bhakti also there's a lot of knowledge, right? Transcendental knowledge that we study in all the books. And yet, in the 11th canto, knowledge is compared to an axe, which says that we use that axe to cut down the tree of our material existence, and then after we throw the axe away. So I was wondering, is there a certain kind of jnan that we keep and another kind that we throw? And when do we know when we're ready to throw the axe? And what is the process? Do we intentionally do it ourselves, or is it Krishna's yoga maya just kind of takes over and blocks out that knowledge?
And fourth chapter of the Gita, so Nahigyani Nasadrisham, Krishna says this, nothing is pure as wonderful as transcendental knowledge. So that knowledge which helps us awaken our love for Krishna, and then later on he says, Bhavo Jnana Tapasa Putramad Bhava Magata, by knowledge of me, people have attained love for me. So in one sense, we don't necessarily throw away transcendental knowledge. Knowledge always remains within the heart. The residents of Vaikuntha are the most learned personalities, but love for the Lord so much dominates their entire existence that you could say in one sense it's sort of thrown away. They don't need it anymore as a means because they've already attained the end. They've already attained the goal, which is bhava. They've already attained love for Krishna. So, but it always remains there, just like Krishna it always knows everything, even though he's just absorbed in loving exchanges with his devotees. It's transcendental knowledge, and it's Krishna. So in that sense, it's not that it's unnecessary or superfluous. Other type of knowledge, or that knowledge which is not related to bhakti yoga or a manifestation of Krishna Swarup Shakti, that's another issue. That we don't necessarily need the type of speculative knowledge that the Prabhupada gave this example that the, you know, sometimes gyanis or others, or yogis, go to crematorium in order to see the bodies being burnt, in order to understand that you're not this body. What's the use? Krishna says, you're not this body. So, komara chovara chava. What do you got to go to crematorium for? So this type of, you know, it's silly. It's already there. It's in black and white. All you have to do is just accept it. So, knowledge for this type of knowledge. But then, Sanatana Goswami describes, but if devotees become too enamored by Gyan, and they practice what's called Gyana Bhakti, that their devotional service is motivated by knowledge, as opposed to simply being a facility for cultivating bhakti, then that slows one down, that slows them down. When they're more attracted to knowledge than they are to service, cultivating knowledge, because it is wonderful. You just go on and on and on, you know, the Jiva Goswami Sandarvas and so on, but the whole point is that ultimately we're Nitya Krishna Das. We're meant to be serving, not just accumulating knowledge, even knowledge of perfection. Okay. Someone has to call the shots.
I got another question.
But there's a lot of other people who raised their hand.
talking about the Goswamis, you gave the example of Jiva Goswami, who was really a prolific writer and great scholar. And we know he's also a Manjari in Krishna Leela. So some devotees have the sentiment that I don't have to study about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because ultimately, I don't want that to be my dominant bhav because I want love for Krishna rather than that gyan. So along the same lines we were just talking about as entering a qualification and then going beyond that or up to the next stage and connecting that with the acts of knowledge concept. How is it that in this life we're studying so much about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but hoping to come to a place where the love for Krishna is much more dominant than that wisdom?
It's the adhikar, it's the qualification. Yes, interestingly, we are the Krishna consciousness movement, and we're always talking about love for Krishna. But ultimately, at least for most followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are entering into a different mood where their relationship with Srimati Radharani overshadows that of Krishna. And yet, until we're quite learned in devotional service, we don't even hear about Radharani. She's right there on the center. And it's a real philosophical statement that Srila Prabhupada established in the center of all of his temples, with the exception like of Krishna Balaram Mandir and so on, that this is the goal of our devotional service. But still, it's Krishna consciousness. You've got to be fully convinced Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before you're fully convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, that you won't really have the adhikar to properly understand his pastimes, because you start thinking he's ordinary. And until that Vikriditam Rajabad Huviridam Chavishnu Shadambita Shinuyad Ativarnayadyay. Faith is also, and Rupa Goswami explains that a devotee is known by his knowledge and also by his faith. So Shradambita Shinu, according to the degree of your faith, you have qualification for hearing those things. We won't really understand Krishna's lila or pastimes, and therefore we don't really make a public show of Krishna's pastimes. We speak philosophy. We speak knowledge. Let people understand that Krishna is God. Now, how does God urinate on the floor as a child? How does he steal yogurt? And he doesn't just urinate, he does the other stuff as well. So, you know, you can start thinking that, well, this is just some kind of mythology, and this is what, you know, all the academics, because they don't have the qualification, for them it's all mythology. But for those who do have the qualification of faith and knowledge, then they have full faith in that. And only later can we actually start moving along. Once you have really, really rock solid faith in Krishna, can you start moving into the realms of, all right, then yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Dasa Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. We're not really Krishna Das. We're Krishna Das Anudas. Because Krishna Das means that, you know, Mother Yashoda is directly Krishna's servant. Sridham Subal are directly servants. We're going to be the servants of the servants. And as I mentioned, for the most part, devotees target the Madhurya Ras, and generally our acharyas point towards being the maidservants of Srimati Radharani. This word Manjari, Srila Prabhupada does not even mention in all of his books. If you got the qualification, you'll understand. He mentions it just when he's naming Rupa Manjari and so on. This is who Rupa Goswami is. But otherwise, he doesn't mention why. Well, if you have the qualification, you'll figure it out. And if you really read what Srila Prabhupada is writing. But until then, yes. And of course, even when one comes to that stage, everybody in Vrindavan is in love with Krishna. In one way or another way, everybody loves Krishna. But some may love Krishna's devotees, Krishna's das, more than they love Krishna. And Krishna's pleased with that. Krishna's happy about that. He also loves his devotees, and he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what that actually means. Okay, you've got the microphone.
I do.
Yes.
Maharaj, very nice class, thank you. I was contemplating on Dijapatni's meeting with the Lord. Is the sadhaka's destiny is already fixed, or actually I'm making, by the mercy, my destiny? So I was just contemplating on it that Lord Krishna saw their enthusiasm to be with him forever, but Lord Krishna quoted this Sravanat Darshanat Dhyanat. You should practice this. Every day you hear, worship, look at my deity, worship that form. I'm sure you're familiar with that verse. And then chant, just by meeting me is not going to work. But they have tremendous attraction. What is the missing here? I'm just not...
Almost identical verse Krishna told the gopis when they first came. Now you asked two questions. As far as I understand, the first question you were asking was whether one acquires a spiritual form or not.
Yeah, am I the maker or actually it is predestined I'm going to experience in?
My studies are that everyone is Krishna Das. The proclivity to serve Krishna is there because we are subordinate to him. Ekalai Ekshwara Krishna Arasarva Britya. Everybody is Britya, everyone is serving. What kind of servant? That your association will determine. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give something. So what's the point of giving something if everything's already predetermined? And Srila Prabhupada also makes very explicit statements to that effect. But it's a controversial point. Is it inherited or is it inherent?
Right.
So Jiva Goswami points out Bhakti Sandarbha, you associate with jnanis, you become a jnani. You associate with devotees, you become devotee according to your association, that will become your perfection. And the Srila Prabhupada says, generally, those in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line are in Madhurya Ras.
Okay.
And Chaitanya Charitamrita. The second point was about Dvipatnis. Even though someone may have association with Krishna, they may not be fully qualified. So Narad had that darshan, but then the Lord said, because you are kuyoginam, because you're kuyogi, which is in one sense a bad word. What was Narada's disqualification? He just liked living out in the forest. He was attached to practicing out there. He said, because your heart is still not pure, you're not going to see me in this life. So he had to, what did he do? He chanted, walked throughout wherever he went, he chanted the glories of the Lord, and then of course he became great Narada Muni. Or he reassumed his form as Narada Muni. So like that, also someone may get a darshan of Krishna. The gopis were not in that category. Krishna was just teasing them, but Dvijapatnis, then something wasn't complete. I've never studied what that is. And then those other gopis who also weren't able to go out and meet with Krishna. So why? Because they still had some type of attachment to Dharma. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritya, but I don't want to humiliate my family. What will my husband say? You know, how can I leave my child? So they had to become further purified, and for them, the pain of separation was actually their sadhana.
Thank you, Maharaj. As for how many questions you would like to take, you can decide, Maharaj.
Oh, I do have some devotees I'm obliged to speak to.
It's up to you.
I don't have
them. Okay, we'll take one or two more from those who don't have. Pass it to the back there. There's
Raj, on the point of faith, I was thinking of the verse that, you know, one who has implicit faith in the Guru and in the spiritual master, that all the purports of the Vedas are revealed, and how many of us had direct experience of that when we first became devotees, and Guru Kripa, how important that is to be able to make advancement, that even someone who isn't so educated, not so able to study, right, if they have that is their qualification, that's their adhikara, that they have that full faith and that Krishna will work through them, correct?
Yes, yadeve prabhaktir tatadeve tataguru. Yes, implicit faith, but then it didn't necessarily exclude. I mean, ultimately, chanting Hare Krishna is enough. But so many times Prabhupada said, we have so many books, but you can just chant Hare Krishna. But how will you chant Hare Krishna? So you have to chant Hare Krishna a certain way. It has to be actually offenseless or pure chanting to actually do that. If we're still chanting offensively, if we're still chanting Namabhas, then it certainly requires the assistance of other devotional activities to further purify us. But I mean, the bottom line is, you have faith in the holy name and you chant purely, everything comes just from chanting Hare Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, the purports of all scriptures will manifest. Vede sudurlava madurlava atma bhakto. Yes. Let's stop, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. If I've made any mistakes, you have to forgive me. And look forward to seeing you again in Hungary. Come visit us there. You all fly to India. It's a long, long flight from here. So just break your flight, stop, and come visit Krishna Valley, and stay for a few days and then continue on, especially the elders. It's torture, this airplane business. Hare Krishna.
If you like more information, there's all the books Maharaj compiled. It's outside on the table. Please come if you would like.